All right, so my name is Noah, and I've always been an outdoorsy guy. I grew up in a small town where the forest was practically my backyard. The thrill of exploring the unknown, that's what got me into camping. But this one trip, last fall, it changed everything for me. It was me, Terry, and Curtis. We'd been buddies since middle school. We were all set for our annual camping trip to the White Mountain National Forest, a tradition we started in high school. That morning, everything seemed to be going wrong. My alarm didn't go off, burnt my toast, and even tripped over my dog, Bruno. Terry and Curtis weren't doing great either. Curtis texted that he'd broken his favorite mug, and Terry got a speeding ticket on his way to my place. Despite the rocky start, they managed to meet up at my house. The plan was simple. Hit the road early, set up camp, and enjoy nature. We crammed our gear into my old SUV, which had seen better days. We decided to make a quick stop at the local 7-Eleven, needed some snacks, and honestly, just to shake off the weird vibe the morning had brought. The drive was short, just an hour from our hometown, Concord. We chatted about work, life, and old high school memories, trying to lighten the mood. This time, we wanted to switch things up a bit. We aimed to go deeper into the forest, away from the usual tourist spots. We were familiar with the area, but this was uncharted territory for us. Terry, sitting shotgun, kept glancing nervously into the woods. He mentioned a couple of times that he thought he saw something moving, but whenever we stopped to check, there was nothing. I told him it was probably just a deer. Finally, we found this perfect spot, secluded, with a fantastic view and enough clearing to set up our tents comfortably. By the time we got everything set up, the sun was already dipping low. Late October days are short, and the darkness crept up on us quickly. The first night was pretty unsettling. I was jolted awake by a blood-curdling scream from Terry. Curtis and I rushed over to his tent. It turned out to just be a nightmare. We laughed it off, but I could tell Terry was still pretty spooked. I mean, so was I. That scream damn near gave me a heart attack. Knowing that Terry was actually okay and not being slaughtered, we each headed back to our tents for some sleep. The next day, we tried to brush off the eeriness from the night before. We spent the morning hiking around, exploring the deeper parts of the forest. The trees were thick, and the autumn leaves crunched under our feet. It was peaceful, but there was this feeling that we weren't alone out there. I asked the guys if they felt like someone was out there watching us, and they both said yeah. We didn't see anyone else around though, just us and the wilderness. Curtis then started hounding Terry about his dream and said maybe the boogeyman is out there waiting to get us. Terry then threw a football he had in his hands right into Curtis's southern region, if you know what I mean. Come afternoon, we found a small creek, clear and cold. It was a good spot to relax, so we decided to take a break. Curtis, the jokester of our group, tried to lighten the mood with his corny jokes. It worked. Kind of. We laughed, had our lunch there, and talked about old times. But deep down, I think we all felt that nagging, uncomfortable feeling. As the day turned to evening, the forest got really quiet. Like, unusually quiet. No birds chirping or anything. We headed back to camp, cooked dinner, and just sat around the fire. The crackling fire was the only sound, and the woods around us felt too still. Curtis brought up the idea of telling ghost stories, but Terry shot it down real quick. He was still shaken up from his nightmare. We had a few more beers, chatted for a little bit, and decided it was time to hit the sack. That night, I ended up having a nightmare too. It was vivid and terrifying. I found myself standing outside my tent, looking toward the direction of Terry's tent. There was this tall, shadowy figure with unnaturally long arms, just standing there. It had to be at least 8 feet tall, and it had extremely long, silky white hair. And its skin was so pale, it seemed to glow in the moonlight. Standing across from it was Terry. He just stood there, almost in a trance. The figure then lifted its arm and flicked its wrist upward. In that instant, Terry's body had been lifted off the ground, levitating in midair. This being had almost a human-like face, but its eyes had extremely deep sockets, and its eyes seemed to be all black, and its mouth appeared to be just a slit. It then started making a whistling sound, and this sound caused Terry's body to convulse violently, resulting in blood pouring out of his eyes, nose, mouth, and ears. I tried to scream, but no sound came out. It was like I was frozen in place. I woke up screaming at the top of my lungs. Terry and Curtis came running, thinking I was in trouble. They tried asking me what was wrong, but it was like I was in a state of shock. It took a few minutes for me to snap back into reality. I told him I was fine and that I just had a bad nightmare. I distinctly remember Terry having this particularly concerned look on his face as he looked at me. I assured him I was fine and to head back to bed. The following day, we were all on edge. Nobody talked much. We decided to just stay near the campsite. I remember frequently scanning the tree line with my eyes, expecting to see that figure from my dream. Terry was unusually quiet, and Curtis tried his best to lighten up the mood, but it wasn't working this time. We all just wanted this trip to end. Then, on the third night, Curtis woke up screaming. The most chilling part is that all three of us woke up screaming at exactly 3 a.m. when we each had our dreams. After Curtis had calmed down, we each agreed to describe what our nightmare was about. I still remember that cold chill running down my spine when Terry described his dream. It was identical to my dream, except from his visual perspective. In his dream, he saw Curtis and I standing near our tents, watching what was happening to him. We all saw the same thing, the tall, pale figure, Terry levitating and bleeding out in midair. It was too much of a coincidence. We decided right then and there we were leaving first thing in the morning. We barely slept that night, and at the first light of dawn, we packed up. The forest felt different now, like it was hiding something extremely evil. We didn't talk much on the way back. When we finally got home, we promised each other to never speak of this trip again. That was the last time we went camping in White Mountain National Forest. I don't really like sharing this story often due to how bizarre it sounds. And honestly, I still get the creeps when I think back on it. Anyways, my name is Marcus, and what I'm about to share with you happened back in September of 2018. I worked at an auto repair shop, fixing cars and chatting about life with my buddy Derek. We'd been working together for about 10 years, and during that time, we'd become really good friends. Our usual weekends were filled with bar hopping and golf, but we wanted to shake things up. That's how we landed on the idea of camping, something neither of us had really done before. We planned a 3-day camping trip, picking a spot that seemed ideal from online reviews. Neither of us was an experienced camper, but we were up for an adventure. We packed our gear, making sure to bring enough supplies, and set out on a Friday afternoon. The drive was filled with jokes and the kind of easy chatter that comes from years of friendship. Arriving at the campsite, we were struck by how isolated it felt, surrounded by dense woods. It was so peaceful. All you could hear were leaves rustling in the wind and birds chirping. Simple things like that really blow me away. Anyways, we set up our tents, struggling a bit with the poles and the canvas, but eventually getting it right. That night, we cooked some hot dogs over the fire, cracked open a few beers, and just chilled out for a while talking about old memories. It was pretty cool, just two bros hanging out, enjoying each other's company. The first night passed without incident. We slept well, though the unfamiliar sounds of the forest kept me awake longer than usual. The next day, we tried our hand at fishing in a nearby stream and actually managed to catch a couple. We laughed a lot, mostly at how terrible we were at fishing. As night approached, we settled in again, feeling more at ease in the wilderness. That second night, though, things took a turn. I remember waking up suddenly, not sure what had disturbed me. It was pitch dark, and I could hear some commotion outside. I fumbled for my flashlight, my heart starting to race. What I saw next was something I'll never forget. Derek was outside, but not just wandering around. He had climbed a tree, which was odd enough, but what was truly unsettling was what he was doing. He was perched against the tree, staring up at the sky and yelling something. His words were chilling, something about not being able to stop what was coming. It was bizarre and frightening. I called out to him, my voice filled with confusion and concern, but he didn't seem to hear me. He just kept staring and yelling, lost in whatever nightmare had taken hold of him. Then, in a swift, almost unnatural motion, he climbed down and ran past me, straight into his tent. I stood there, frozen, trying to make sense of what had just happened. The next morning, I confronted Derek about what happened that night. He seemed genuinely unaware and confused. That's when he admitted to having a sleepwalking disorder. He said sometimes he did things in his sleep, things he couldn't remember. Hearing this, I felt a mix of relief and anxiety. Relief that there might be a logical explanation, but anxiety about what else might happen. I didn't want him to feel bad or awkward, so I told him to not worry about it, and offered him the idea of trying our hand at fishing again. He instantly started laughing because we both knew we sucked at it, but he was down to try again. So, we gathered our fishing supplies and headed off to the nearby stream. To our surprise, we actually managed to catch a good amount of fish. Both of us were pretty stoked and probably a little overconfident. After a while of fishing, we decided to head back to the campsite and chill out the rest of the day. Later that night, the campsite was quiet except for the usual sounds of the woods. I remember checking my watch before dozing off. It was around midnight. I'm not gonna lie, I was kinda sketched out about falling asleep though, considering what happened the night before. So, when I felt a sudden tug on my feet, I snapped awake instantly. The next moments were a blur of panic and confusion. Derek was there in my tent, dragging me by my feet with a strength I didn't know he had. It was like he had become someone else, someone with superhuman speed. I was being pulled out of the tent, dragged through the dirt and leaves. My mind raced with fear and confusion as I struggled to break free from his grasp. Finally, I managed to wrench my legs from his grip. I was outside the tent now, heart pounding, grasping for breath. Without thinking, I grabbed Derek, spun him around, and punched him in the face. It was a desperate move, fueled by fear and the need to defend myself. The punch seemed to snap Derek out of whatever trance he was in. He woke up, looking bewildered and disoriented. He had no idea what he had just done, or why I was standing over him, breathing heavily, my hands shaking. I was filled with a mix of anger, fear, and concern for my friend. We talked, or rather, I talked, while Derek listened, still trying to piece together what had happened. I explained everything, from him dragging me out of the tent to the punch that woke him up. Derek was apologetic, but it was clear we couldn't stay there any longer. It was no longer safe, not with these unpredictable episodes. We decided to pack up and leave first thing in the morning. The rest of the night, neither of us slept. We sat up, talking intermittently, mostly sitting in silence, listening to the sounds of the forest. It was a long, tense night, and I just couldn't wait till morning so we can get the hell out of there. I was done with camping, done with Derek's sleepwalking episodes. I just wanted to go home. Once the sun began to rise, we quickly started gathering our gear and packed it into my truck. The drive back was nothing like the drive there. We were both quiet, lost in our thoughts. Derek kept apologizing, but I just couldn't shake off the fear and shock of what had happened. It was a relief to finally see the familiar streets of our town. After that trip, Derek and I didn't talk for about 2 weeks. It wasn't out of anger, more out of a need to process what had happened. We did eventually talk it out, and while I understood it wasn't his fault, I made it clear that camping was off the table for us, forever. In retrospect, that camping trip taught me a lot about the unexpected. It showed me how unprepared we can be for the things our friends might carry with them, things hidden deep down. Sometimes, life can throw some serious curveballs our way. And though Derek and I are still good friends, some experiences are just too intense to ever want to relive. Hey, so my name is Wendy, and I really need to tell you about this crazy camping trip I had a while back. It was during this time when I was working as a wildlife biologist in Vermont. I've always been a nature enthusiast since I was a kid. So when I got a week off work, I decided to explore more of Vermont. My plan was simple, a 2-day camping trip, nothing extravagant, just me, my sleeping bag, and the wilderness. I remember it was a sunny morning when I set off. I packed light, only the essentials, a camera, some food, and of course, my trusty sleeping bag. No tent, because I wanted to really feel connected with nature. I drove to this local forest that I'd heard was beautiful, but not too crowded. The idea was to find a secluded spot, not too deep into the woods, where I could relax and maybe snap some cool wildlife photos. After a bit of hiking, I found this perfect spot. It was peaceful, surrounded by trees, and the sound of a nearby stream was just so calming. I set up my makeshift campsite and decided to explore the area with my camera. I was hoping to capture some of the local birds, or maybe even a deer if I was lucky. The day was going great. I took tons of pictures, just losing myself in the beauty of the forest. But then, something odd caught my eye. While scrolling through the photos, I saw what looked like a figure in the background. It was blurry, but it seemed like a person, maybe a man, and it looked like he wasn't wearing any clothes. It was strange, but I figured it was just my imagination playing tricks on me. Deciding to head back to my campsite as it was getting late, I thought about the photo. The forest can make you see things, I told myself. It's all those shadows and the way light plays between the trees. But deep down, I felt kinda worried. Something didn't sit right with me about that photo, but I pushed the thought aside. When I got back to my campsite, my heart sank. My stuff was scattered everywhere. My backpack, which I'd carefully packed with food, was torn open. Its contents spilled all over the ground. The worst part? The food was gone. Completely. It was as if someone, or something, had rummaged through my things. Standing there, trying to make sense of the mess, I heard it, whistling. At first, it was faint, coming from behind me. Then, it seemed to surround me, echoing through the trees. It was eerie, not like a bird or the wind, but like a person whistling a tune. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. Let's pause here for a moment. I need to tell you a bit about my background. Growing up in Vermont, I was no stranger to the outdoors. My parents were avid hikers, and they instilled in me a deep respect and love for nature. I spent my childhood exploring forests, learning about wildlife, and camping under the stars. It's what led me to become a wildlife biologist. I've had my share of weird encounters in the wild, but nothing, absolutely nothing, prepared me for what happened next on that trip. As I stood there, trying to figure out the mess, the whistling got louder. I remember it was around 6 p.m., and the sun was beginning to set. The light was fading fast. That's when I saw them. People, or at least they looked like people, but something about them threw me off. They were standing behind trees and bushes, just staring at me. And the weirdest part was that they all seemed to be naked. I counted four of them at first, standing in different directions around me. But then, more started appearing, like they were coming out of nowhere. It was surreal, like something out of a nightmare. They didn't say anything, just kept whistling that same eerie tune. I couldn't understand what was happening and kept questioning myself if they were even real or if I was imagining things. But the fear I felt was definitely real. I didn't know what to do, so I started walking away from my campsite, slowly at first. But then, one of them moved closer, and that's when I started to run. I left everything behind, my backpack, my camera, everything. I just ran as fast as I could. The forest was getting darker, and I could barely see where I was going. I kept tripping over roots and rocks, but I didn't stop. As I ran, I could hear them following me. The whistling was still there, echoing through the trees. It was like they were communicating with each other. I didn't dare look back. I just focused on finding a way out of the forest. I remember thinking I should have never came here alone, but I was way past that point. The forest seemed endless. Every time I thought I was getting somewhere, I just find more trees, more darkness. It was getting colder, and I was getting tired. My heart was pounding in my chest, and my breaths were getting shorter. I kept thinking about my family, my friends, and how I might never see them again. Then, after what felt like hours, I saw a light. It was a small, flickering light, but it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I headed towards it, my legs aching, my lungs burning. The light turned out to be on a road, a small country road with a single street lamp. I had never been so happy to see a road in my life. I didn't stop running until I reached the road. I turned around to look back at the forest, and thankfully, none of those freaks were following me. Just trees and darkness. I walked along the road until I found a small town. I must have looked a mess, because the first person I saw, an old man walking his dog, asked if I was okay. I told him everything, and he called the police. The police searched the forest, but found nothing. No sign of the people I saw. No trace of my belongings. They said it might have been a group of drifters, or maybe I had a hallucination from dehydration or stress. But I know what I saw. I haven't been camping since then. I still love nature, but that experience, it changed how I feel about being alone in the wilderness. I learned that sometimes, you're not as alone as you think. It was around June 2020 when me and my nephew Levi, who was 26 at the time, decided to camp for 2 months at my sister's personal campground deep in the woods. There was a small creek running through the property, leading to a large pond in the back where the campground was located. We were excited for such a long camping trip with our own personal campground. The campground had spots cleared for tents and a nice big fire pit surrounded by big rocks. There were two large log benches on opposite sides of the fire pit. It really was beautiful at first sight. We spent the first day setting up our tent and gathering wood for the fire that night. As it got dark, we sat by the fire drinking and noticed a feeling like we were being watched from the woods beyond the creek, but we tried to ignore it. Inside the tent, Levi had a queen air mattress and I had a twin. My sister's half-husky, half-wolf dog, Bella, came along and laid outside the tent door, guarding us. I dozed off watching a movie until 3 a.m. when I had to use the outhouse. It was foggy and eerie outside. As I approached the outhouse, Bella started growling towards the creek. Then I heard music playing, getting louder as if someone was walking towards me with a radio. But the music seemed to be coming from the creek itself. Levi came out and we quickly retreated to the tent as he stoked up the fire. The music faded into the woods, but then changed to a country song. We'd had paranormal encounters before, but never anything like this supernatural radio ghost. The next morning, we considered leaving, but decided to stick it out, taking turns tending the fire at night. That night, the music returned from across the creek. Levi tried crossing to investigate, but Bella blocked him, seemingly preventing him from being lured into the woods. We gave it one more night, but the music started playing in broad daylight this time, bolder and right in front of us, playing from thin air. Bella was growling and barking aggressively. We quickly packed up as the music followed closely behind. It was so unnerving getting out of those woods. When we told my sister and her husband, they were just as confused as we were. The next year, they decided to go camping there themselves. Sure enough, they too encountered the strange music seemingly coming out of nowhere. After their experience, my sister and brother-in-law were completely spooked. They immediately closed down the campground, dismantled the fire pit and benches, and put up no trespassing signs. They didn't want anyone else having to go through what we all went through with that radio ghost or whatever it was. None of us could explain the paranormal phenomenon we experienced out there in those woods surrounding the creek and pond. We've explored many possibilities, but we're never able to identify a definitive cause. Whatever that radio ghost was, we'll never really know. But we'll never forget that terrifying experience. You know how in movies, the guy goes off into the woods to find himself or whatever? That was me, minus the profound life insights and plus a whole lot of unexpected company. I had packed for everything, bears, bad weather, you name it. But a creepy dude appearing out of nowhere? Yeah. No guidebook on how to handle that kind of wild. My name's Terry, and I've been a plumber for the past 15 years, fixing leaks and unclogging drains day in and day out. It's honest work, but sometimes a man just needs to get away from the grind. That's why I decided to take a little solo camping trip deep in the heart of the woods. I had it all planned out, a week of solitude, just me and nature. I packed my trusty tent, enough food to last me the duration, and all the essentials I could think of. I was prepared for anything the wilderness could throw at me, or so I thought. Little did I know, my meticulously planned getaway was about to take a turn for the bizarre. The first day of my trip started off picture perfect. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and there was a gentle breeze rustling through the trees. It was like something straight out of a nature documentary. I couldn't have asked for better weather to kick off my adventure. I arrived at the campsite around mid-afternoon and set about pitching my tent. It was a spacious two-person deal, more than enough room for just me and my gear. As I hammered in the stakes and tied off the guy lines, I couldn't help but feel a sense of pride. Here I was, a regular city slicker, roughing it out in the great outdoors like a true mountain man. With my temporary home set up, I decided to take a little stroll around the area, getting a lay of the land. The forest was dense, but there were well-worn trails winding through the underbrush, making navigation a breeze. I spent a good hour or so just wandering, taking in the sights and sounds of nature. By the time I made it back to camp, the sun was starting to dip below the tree line, resulting in the sky looking absolutely breathtaking. The first 3 days of my camping trip passed without incident, and I was really starting to settle into the peaceful rhythm of nature. But on the morning of the fourth day, I began to notice some odd things happening around the campsite. As I emerged from my tent, I immediately spotted some of my equipment had been moved around during the night. My cooler, which I had left next to the fire pit, was now a good 10 feet away, and my backpack had been opened with some of my stuff spilled out around the bag. At first, I thought some sort of animal did it, but something about the whole scene felt off. As I went about my daily routine, collecting firewood and filtering water from a nearby stream, I just couldn't help but feel like I was being watched. I remember being completely on edge at the time. If I heard any little noise, I would whip my head around to find the source of the sound, but each time, I was met with nothing but the stillness of the forest. Later that afternoon, as I sat by the fire whittling a stick, I heard what sounded like whistling coming from deep within the woods. It made the hairs on the back of my neck stand straight up. I had basically turned into a statue. Part of me wanted to look in the direction of the sound, but another part of me was like, hell no. I sat there, frozen, for what felt like an eternity. The whistling continued, echoing through the trees, and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. Finally, I mustered up the courage to stand up and look around. I scanned the tree line, searching for any sign of movement, but saw nothing. The whistling seemed to be coming from everywhere and nowhere all at once. "Hello?" I called out, my voice shaking slightly. "Is anyone there?" Silence. The whistling had stopped the moment I spoke. I waited, straining my ears for any response, but heard only the gentle rustle of leaves in the breeze. I called out again, louder this time. "Hey, who's out there? Show yourself." Still, no answer. The forest around me was as still as a painting. I stood there, hands clenched at my sides, waiting for something, anything, but nothing else happened. The rest of the day was completely normal, so I just kind of put what happened in the back of my mind and tried my best to enjoy the rest of the time I had left out there. After eating dinner, I plopped myself on my chair with a nice cold beer and a book. I loved to read, and reading out in nature was sublime. Eventually, my eyes started getting heavy, so I decided to call it a night and hit the sack. At some point in the middle of the night, I was suddenly jolted awake, but I didn't know why. So I just sat there in my tent, rubbing my eyes, when I heard the distinct sound of whistling. This time, it was crystal clear that it was whistling. However, what made it even more horrifying was the fact that it was coming from directly outside my tent. Clearly, this wasn't an animal. I thought about reaching for my flashlight, but I instead chose to slowly unzip my tent. So as I did, I made eye contact with a man who had the most unhinged grin I've ever seen. I just froze. He then motioned for me to come here with his finger as he continued staring at me with that creepy smile. I unzipped my tent all the way, and trying to sound as manly as I could, while feeling completely terrified, I asked what the hell he wanted. He responded by saying he was here to take all of my money and whatever food I had left. Then, he said if I don't comply, then he and his friends will ensure that my body will never be found again. He made it perfectly clear that any trace of me being out there would be wiped clean. The fact that I was potentially surrounded by other psychopaths like him out in the middle of the forest scared the hell out of me. I didn't want to call his bluff, so I did as he asked. After handing him all of my cash and food, he thanked me for my cooperation and told me I better be gone by the next day. Needless to say, I packed my gear that same night, took off, and never looked back. I thought about reporting the incident to the police, but let's be real here, they would have never caught the guy. I never went camping again after that creepy encounter. I was all set for a quiet night by the lake alone. I make this trip about 2 or 3 times a year, just to get away for a while. I've never encountered any issues until that one fateful night. Looking back, I should have stayed in my tent when I initially heard the screams coming from the water. Curiosity got the better of me though. Those screams didn't sound like any animal I knew, and the thought of someone out there, possibly drowning, was too much to ignore. So, against my better judgment, I grabbed my flashlight, crawled out of my tent, and headed towards the sound. Getting closer, I was seriously freaked out. It was dead quiet, except for those screams. I kept looking where they were coming from, but couldn't see anyone. All I could see was a layer of fog hovering over the water. At this point, I was trying my best to keep it together. As I mentioned earlier, I've been up to this area plenty of times throughout the years, but never have I experienced anything like this. The screams seemed to grow louder, more frantic, more desperate, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I struggled to breathe steadily as I forced myself forward towards the source of the sounds. The night air was cool against my skin, and a light mist rolled in from the lake, clinging to my legs as I waded through the tall grass. The only illumination came from the half moon overhead, casting an eerie glow on the rippling water. As I drew closer to the shoreline, I noticed something strange. There were no footprints anywhere. Clearly, whoever was out there screaming didn't enter the water from my area. But then again, I wasn't even seeing any person in the water to begin with. My mind started racing with questions that I had no answers to. Up until this point, I hadn't spoken a word or called out to the woman screaming. I was just in a state of confusion, and honestly, I was scared. Finally, I called out to the woman and asked her where was she. That's when the screaming stopped. To be honest with you, that very moment was more chilling than when she was screaming. The fact that she stopped screaming the moment I called out suggested she heard me. Cutting through the eerie silence, I called out again, asking her where is she and if she's in danger. A few seconds later, she responded in a gentle but timid voice. She asked me to come in and help her. Let me tell you, I felt an ice-cold chill run straight through my body when she said that. Something just wasn't adding up, but I still had no idea what was going on. With a knot in my throat, I asked her what was wrong. My question was followed by complete silence. Suddenly, I heard twigs snapping from the wooded area behind me. I quickly turned around, but I didn't see anyone. Then, she responded and again asked me to come into the water and help her. Alarm bells in my head were going off at this point. "Please hurry," she said. I felt my chest tightening from the anxiety, but it was what she said next that sent me into a complete panic. "David, please, come save me." Whoever was out there knew my name. I don't know why, but I looked at my watch, and the time was 3 a.m. After that, I started to slowly back away from the shoreline. Once I walked back about 10 feet, the voice from the lake let out an ear-piercing scream. While screaming, the sounds of twigs snapping and leaves rustling started up again, but this time it was way more intense. It sounded like someone or something was headed my way. I wasn't going to stick around and find out.
so I took off running back up the path where I came from. While running, the woman kept screaming, and the sounds from the surrounding woods grew louder. At this point, I was fully convinced that someone was out to get me. At one point, I tripped over a tree root and went shoulder first into the ground. It hurt like hell, but I got up as quick as I could and kept running. I parked my pickup truck right next to my campsite, so that's where I planned on jumping into the first chance I got. Finally, my campsite and truck came into view, and I gave it all I had to run faster. When I reached the truck, it was locked. I forgot I had locked it before heading to bed. The keys were inside my tent. Meanwhile, that voice was still screaming, and the other sounds of someone chasing me had stopped, but I still felt their presence lurking in the darkness. As I stood next to my truck, I looked over at my tent, wondering if I had a chance to quickly go in and grab my keys. I was pretty much a sitting duck just standing out there, so I made a break for it. I ran to my tent, grabbed my keys, and unlocked the truck using the keypad. In one swift motion, I opened the driver's side door and leaped in, then locked the door. Sitting there looking around, I still couldn't see anyone in the area. But I still had that lingering feeling that someone or something was out there, lurking. It was in that moment that I made the decision to abandon my campsite. I figured I could just come back with my brother in the morning to retrieve my things. So, I turned on the truck and drove off as fast as I could. The next morning, I went back with my brother, and thankfully, all of my stuff was still there. I told him what happened, but neither of us could come up with any logical explanation. Some places have their secrets, and apparently, so did this place. I don't think I'll be heading back there anytime soon.